Now, delighted as always to see the lovely Brendan Fuller, who Hello. Joins us here in the Tralee studio. And it's great to see you, Brendan.
Lovely seeing you as well.
Now, have you, by the way, before we start, Portaloos, outdoor festivals, any lasting memories?
It's kind of flashbacks, you know. You just
traumatized.
They're just not great. I mean, there's no way around it. They're just not
a necessary
great.
Evil.
Exactly. Really. Yeah. So I do my best to avoid outdoor gigs and all the rest of it. Because I've been to Oxygen in 2010. That a long weekend of Portaloos. Just no.
I don't know what the solution is. I just envy people who have a great bladder and have a few drinks, enjoy the music. And not have to use
exactly.
the
Portaloos. They'd be like a camel.
Exactly.
They'd cross the desert without needing the bathroom, I'd say.
This is it. And there are people out there with great bladders.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them, sadly. Now, keep those memories, by the way, of outdoor festivals in. Tell us why you love outdoor festivals, or indeed why you would avoid them. Maybe it's because of said Portaloos that you wouldn't go to an outdoor festival. 083 300 3300. Now, Brendan, we're going to start with the question that actually came in for our interiors expert, Amanda, during the week, but she couldn't answer it. So I said I'd hold on to it and put it in as an ask, Brendan.
Okay, I'm a bit scared now because you said interior expert could not answer it.
So well, let's it's not have, really her remit, I suppose.
Let's have the chancer have a go at it. So the question is, how much per hour would you expect to pay a painter for doing work inside your house?
Well, if you can get a painter to begin with, you'll be
exactly,
off
yeah,
to a good
yeah.
start.
There's normally a big waiting list anyway for these kind of things. So I can't give that answer because any time I have had paint in the house, it's just been myself and Eve and whoever is around the place to do the painting.
You do your own painting.
Yeah, but I wouldn't advise that because painting is a wonderful, beautiful, therapeutic, zen activity for about 40 minutes. And then after that,
it's hard work.
Pain and suffering. Yeah.
Okay.
to put it lightly, not to over dramatic or anything, but it's a chore. I'm saying this because I will be painting all next week. I'm off next week and I'll be painting and painting and crying and painting.
And then crying some more.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
I hear you. So does anyone out there know how much per hour is the going rate for
could
a
I
painter?
Charge myself, Deirdre?
You could hire yourself out, yeah. Why not?
So I don't know how much it would be. And this is where listeners can come in because I'm sure that there are different levels of experience, different painters in different parts of the county. If they can get in touch and say, I got so-and-so for however much money. Now, we might not mention different names, whatever, but just give us a sort of an idea of...
A ballpark.
Yeah, a ballpark, and we'll have a good range of, on average, how much it'll cost. So if people can get in touch, that'd be helpful.
That would be great for our caller, and you might get some work out of it. Mm-hmm. Now, an Art Firth listener has been on about a spider plant.
Yeah, to be honest, I was reading these earlier. I thought... If a spider in their room, in their bathroom, they're looking after it. No, spider plant in my bathroom and it has started to look a bit sad. I water it about once a week. The problem is that the leaves are gone very long. Should I cut them or does anyone have advice on how to revive this plant?
Okay, they're so very popular plants, actually.
A spider plant. I haven't heard about a spider plant before, so what does it look like exactly?
As the name suggests, it has very long leaves that kind of go out like that.
Right.
I'm making a visual gesture here, Brendan. But they do, the leaves on them tend to grow very long. And I suppose the caller probably wants to know, should they cut them or not? And the plant is starting to look a bit sad, as I'd say are a lot of plants after the heat we've had. Now, also heat related is the next question.
Listeners wondering, why is everyone saying this morning that the farmers will be delighted that it's finally raining? I don't come from a rural background and would really like to know. Sorry if it's a stupid question. It's not.
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Some would argue I make a living off of Deirdre. Asking stupid questions. Good question. We'll come back with an answer there. I would try and have a go at it straight off the bat, but I live in a rural area now after migrating from the town. So I need to kind of keep my reputation, you know. So I don't want to embarrass myself as I'm saying. By saying they're delighted it rains because they like
XYZ.
So we'll come back with a good old answer for you.
Now, this next one actually is going to create a little bit of a stir, I would imagine. Amy is about to buy her first car, whoever Amy is.
Lovely.
And she's looking for advice. And I'd say if she, like 10 different people will probably tell her 10 different car brands. But anyway.
Yeah, so this is what Amy is saying. I'm about to buy a car for the first time and can only afford a small second-hand one. I've seen several that I like, including a Volkswagen Polo, a Fiesta and Renault Clio. Any advice, Brendan?
Yeah, so you have to be a motoring expert as well.
Of course I do. Well, I have bought, I'm on my third car now. So the first car, lots went wrong with it. And that was a great learning curve. And then I bought a similar car for the second one. And even more went wrong with that one. So that's my advice, is maybe go with something that's cheap, affordable. And then if something does go wrong, you'll be able to afford the replacement parts or the actual workings again. Because a lot of people will say, oh my God, that Mercedes or that BMW, that's only, you know, however many thousands, and sure, I can get that, but maybe it's a 05 or a 06. And then when something goes in a good brand car, we'll say, or an expensive car, when it first hit the market, replacement parts can be quite expensive. So just think of that anyway. So go for something that might not be your dream car. The first car is where you kind of learn, that's why you need to put oil into the car as well as petrol or diesel. So maybe just think about it like that. But that's kind of the advice that I would have. Because if I suggest a car brand or a different car to get, sure, like, how long is a piece of string? Someone will have a different opinion.
Well, let the listeners suggest, because anybody out there who's driving can remember their first car, mm-hmm. what brand it was, how it served them. And maybe you'd like Amy to avail of your wisdom or avoid the pitfalls you fell into. So, we'll leave
Opel
the
lesson. Opel Astra, I think it was a 04 was my first one. And it was a five door, as they call it. Well, four doors and a boot. And I had to park it up along a wall, right? Anytime I was going to leave the car for a while. Because no matter how often you would lock it, you could lock it manually by putting the key in the door and turning it, or else remotely on the button on the key, and you'd lock it. But the back left door would always open. So it was never totally locked. So I would always have to park it up against a wall on the left-hand side.
Good Lord, that's a lot of trouble to have to go to.
It is, but you know what, Deirdre? I learned loads about cars with that car.
Okay, well, reading between the lines there, we know what Brendan wouldn't recommend.
Yeah.
Okay, but that might have been just that particular one.
Well, you see, that's it, because other people have had great experiences with them. So, yeah. It might have been my looking.
Okay, Amy. Amy's looking for recommendations if anyone wants to tell her, and she can't afford a big car. So what's a good starter car? What would you recommend?
And is looking for a good, a small second-hand one there. So next question was from a Ballylongford listener. I was watching Downton Abbey recently with a friend, and we were wondering, do some rich people in the UK still have butlers? Or would it just be the royal family? That is a cracking question, isn't it?
It is. It's a great question.
Yeah.
Do you have a butler at home, Brendan?
Not that I know of. I haven't bumped into them yet anyway. I don't have a butler at home, no.
Yeah.
Could do it one. Would they do painting? How much is a butler to do painting for a week?
I'm sure, though, on a serious note, I'm sure there are very wealthy sort of landed gentry types in the UK who have staff in the house.
Exactly. So I'm just thinking about butler. Is that term, has it just been updated or evolved over the years, or is there still the quintessential butler that you think of with Downton Abbey? I'm sure there is a specialised sort of a position, but you need to know everything about wine, about whiskey, about cutlery, about the history of the area. Like, it's not just being a waiter 24/7. You need to do absolutely everything. Like, so it really is a quality and qualified profession. So I'd be interested to know, do people still have butlers? Are they called butlers? Do they wear those penguin suits anymore? I don't know anything about it.
Or have they gone out with Downton Abbey?
Yeah, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
There was one that came in from Ray, who's tuned in Clorgan, asking, why is 0 in tennis called love.
Oh, yeah, we've had that one before.
Have.
And it usually comes up around the time of Wimbledon, which is only, what, a month away?
About that, yeah. And Roland Garros on at the moment.
Oh, yeah, that's
French
right.
Open,
the French Open.
I always love watching that.
Yeah, it's great.
Good,
great
fast stuff. Tennis, yeah, it's brilliant.
Lovely stuff. Well, Brendan, have you enough to be getting on with there?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I definitely do, actually. So answers, please, to 083-300-3300.
If anyone can help Brendan out.
Great questions this week, so I'll look into how to revive a spider plant.
Super. All right, we let Brendan off, and do get in touch with us if you can help him out. He'll be back again at about 3:15, just before the end of the show, with all of those questions answered comprehensively, no doubt. No pressure, Brendan. Now, Brendan is back.
Hello.
Welcome back, Brendan. And you've been.
We need to get a hat, don't we?
We do. We need
an
to get an actual hat.
A giant hat.
I usually just put my bits of paper upside down, shuffle them around, and then just pick one. But it's not very scientific, is it?
Yeah. Sorry for, you know, just totally showing how the sausage is.
You blew the whole thing open there, Brendan.
What? They don't have a hat.
They don't have an actual hat.
No.
But it's a figurative, it's an expression, though, isn't it? Putting the names in a hat.
I know, but it would be nice to have a hat or a tombola. Isn't that the thing? Yeah, for
one of those,
raffles.
One of those,
kind of gives me a shiver hearing that word, because it just means a raffle that might go on for 45 minutes at the end of a night that has probably run on too long. Anyway, questions. Speaking of things that run on for too long, I'm back on the radio, Deirdre, from 3 to 5.30. But before that, it's time for Ask Brendan. So the first question, as you mentioned, lots of variations in the answers that came in for how much per hour would you expect to pay a painter for doing work inside the house? Now, it obviously depends, per hour, I guess it should work out the same, but are you buying the paint? Are they buying the paint? That does factor into it. And then obviously sizes of rooms and everything else, but this is per hour. So here are some of the answers. Somebody said €90 a day for a painter. I find that hard to believe, to be honest, but maybe that is the case if you're providing the paint. Caller says that, it would depend on the size of the house, indeed. Another person says, I got a painter last year, charged me €180 per day for labour. Only I bought the paint myself, so that is what the rate was there, according to Mary. And another person says about €150 an hour, approximately, for indoor work. Now, maybe they mean per day, €150 per day. So that's how that's breaking down. Now, I came across an article in The Independent from a couple of months ago, so this would still be relevant. So this kind of gives you prices throughout the country. So in Dublin, it might be about €32 per hour. Then in a place like Galway, you'd have an average daily rate of about €150. And then in Cork, around about €30 per hour. So you're in and around €30 per hour. That's kind of the going rate, according to that article and from what we're getting from our listeners as well.
Okay, so I suppose shop around, and I would imagine that most painters will come to your house, have a look, and give you a quote.
Yeah, that's normally the way. And in fairness, and like, I know that I'm going painting next week, but it won't be a professional job, right? The first part of it will be immaculate. It'll be, you know, treble coated, and the rest of it will be, sure, look, it's done, isn't it?
Yeah. What's the hardest part when you're painting yourself? I've never painted.
I thought you were asking if I was painting myself. No, the ceiling would
is
be
it?
The more. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why, because you get splatters all over yourself?
Well, that, and plus your arms are, you know, above your head all the time. So to keep that going, and then it just kind of strains in the back, the shoulders, all the rest. It's kind of an unnatural position. So you just, you know, hats off to Leonardo da Vinci for painting the Sistine Chapel. I can barely paint a ceiling in Shrine of Oil, never mind the Sistine Chapel. So fair play to him. But anyway, the question was, what is the going rate per hour for a painter? It's about €30 per hour.
Okay, and if you've more than one painter, so you're...
Maybe so, yes.
Yeah,
so look,
okay.
But that's what you can kind of expect. It can go up, it can go down, whatever. It depends on the size of the job, how many people be working for you for it as well. So that's hopefully a helpful guideline for our caller there.
Now, we had an Art Firth listener who has a spider plant in their bathroom that's starting to look a bit sad.
Yeah.
I water it once a week. The problem is the leaves are gone very long. Should I cut them, or does anyone have advice on how to revive a spider plant?
Yeah,
and someone does.
Yeah, and it's the plant that kind of looks like Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons if he never got a haircut and... and it was raining. That's kind of what it looks like, you know. So it's a droopy sort of a green-leaved plant. So I didn't actually come across the advice from our listener, but I did come across advice. It's all about sunlight and how close it is. So if it's in direct light, maybe move it to somewhere a bit shadier. If it then goes even more poorly, then try and bring it somewhere in between. So it's all about the light that it's getting, and make sure that you've watered it first. And then there's another thing whereby after a year or so, sometimes a spider plant can outgrow its pot that it's within. So if you're spotting roots protruding from the bottom of the pot, if it seems stunted or it just looks a bit cramped, if it looks like it's way too big for the pot that it's in, it might need a bigger space to grow. So maybe that's why it's looking all sad and forlorn in the corner. So for the spider plant, you may have to repot it, which is...
A listener says, about the spider plant, tell your listener, don't cut the leaves.
Yeah.
Repot the plant in a larger pot with fresh compost and continue to water it once a week.
How big do they get?
They obviously get massive. They take over the whole bathroom, apparently.
That's a giant.
Oh, sorry, just to interrupt for a second, to go back to the painter. Someone just got on with very good advice. They said, I once got a man in for painting who charged me €20 an hour. I then had to get another man in and pay him €40 an hour to rectify the first fella's work. Recently, I paid €30 an hour to somebody who did excellent work. So my experience is, you get what you pay for.
Oh, yes. And that is good advice. Now, I'm painting free of charge, so you can imagine, again, referring to the quality
of
work.
Get what you pay for.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, somebody said, why is everyone saying that the farmers will be delighted now with the weather? With the rain.
Yeah, with the rain. So obviously they do need sunshine, warmth, especially in the summer. But then, of course, the grass will grow with great sunlight, but it also needs water, as all living things do. So water is very important for the soil quality, and then that is great for all types of farming. So you'd have tillage farming where you've crops of barley and rapeseed and maize and things like that. That obviously needs good growth. So mixture of good sunshine, but mainly warmth and rain. That's kind of what keeps it
the
growing.
Ideal.
Yeah, and then obviously that feeds into the amount of hay that you can make as feed for cattle and all animals and stuff. So key that you get sun, but also rain.
But also rain. Yep. Amy wanted advice about buying her first car. Yeah, we got a couple of on that, didn't you? Did you get the one in from Jerry?
Yeah, but for some reason it's not in front of me, which is annoying me because I had it, but apologies.
I will let you read it. Here it is.
Oh, thank you so
there
much.
You go.
Can you hear me down the back? Yes, so this message here, re-Amy and first car, buy a Yaris 1 litre petrol bulletproof and will be worth money when trading up to something bigger next time. I spent 20 years in the motor trade, and if she was my daughter, that's what I would advise her to do. Regards from Jerry. And says, P.S., even the older ones are better.
And Ken Armstrong is in Killorglin, and I think Ken is just reminiscing about his own first car. He said, Ford Escort Mark 1, 1978, cost £100.
Oh, does he still have it, I wonder?
I wonder, does he?
It cost a fortune.
I would tell Amy to buy a Volkswagen Polo.
Yeah.
Well, everyone has their own kind of car that they love, and with me it's the Volkswagens, and I don't have a Volkswagen anymore, and I'm sorry I ever changed my car. So now that's my advice.
There you go. The question about the butlers, do rich people in the UK still have them? The royal family do. Most people would have a house manager, or it's known as live-in staff.
The rich people, that is. Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry, most rich people. You don't have a live-in staff, do you? So, yeah, they're not really called butlers, but there is still butlers, and they cost a pretty penny.
And love in tennis comes from the French word for egg, which is
false.
Love.
False theory, though.
Really?
It's actually from people who were useless at tennis. They would remain on zero, and they would say, well, I'm not playing for anything, I'm playing for love.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you just make that up?
No, that's the theory. They say that the French word for egg is kind of a false notion, and that it's really...
Well, Dan McSweeney in Castle Island says that's the explanation.
Well, he's wrong. He needs to do a bit more digging. I'll ask Brendan, not ask Dan.
Well, Dan in Castle Island is normally right.
If you think about it, ask Dan would be half... ask Brendan, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll bring Dan in next week. Yeah. Anyway, have a great weekend,
what?
Everyone.
Excuse me.
Bye for now.
I've been fired.